Hi, this is Ann Mueller. I am a DanceWire member and friend and general fan and was an ambassador in 2017. And I'm here in Portland, Oregon with 2018 Ambassador Alexander Donis. It is June 11th and we are going to talk about Alexander's life and career in dance as part of the DanceWire Ambassador Series. So welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm delighted to have you. So just to get started, if you could give me an overview of all of your sort of current titles and jobs and areas of focus.
I guess primarily dance would be the big umbrella that everything falls under. Currently, I'm an independent performance artist, so I'll work freelance, performing with companies and choreographers. I also teach and choreograph myself independently. And then aside from all my independent work, I also am a performance groups director at a local dance school, which I actually grew up at when I was a kid here, and then went through their whole program. And then years later, I kind of tumble back, and it's super cool to help out with the thing that had a hand in making me who I am. So I do all that, and then outside of dance, I'm also like interested in other things, but I wouldn't necessarily say I have job titles with those,
right.
But you know, just kind of a tried everything kind of person, I guess.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And can you tell me what are your, what disciplines do you teach? What dance styles?
So at the studio, I teach kind of all different styles with all levels and ages. So, you know, ballet, tap, jazz, hip hop, whatever you call contemporary
these days. Yeah.
and that's really, really great because it sounds super, super cheesy, but you know, like you learn a lot, especially working with kids that maybe have a different perspective of what dance is than like what I have.
Yeah.
And because they're from growing up in a different time, I guess. But yeah, it would be those styles you know, wiggling and grooving, I guess.
Yeah, great. And do you find, since you're also a performer and a choreographer, do you find that your experience in teaching young dancers informs your sort of process as a dancer yourself?
It has. I guess like one thing would be working with all these different types of kids or individuals, really. I mean, it's given me a better sense of how to adapt from an original idea, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me personally, it's like if I'm setting choreography on myself, or if I'm just performing someone else's choreography or something, just constantly finding new ways to do something, different ways to do something. And that was ingrained from other directors and choreographers I worked with, but when you see it on the other end of it, like not being the performer, but
right.
being the teacher or the choreographer in the room, it's like, oh, like maybe that is better what you're doing versus
right.
what we were doing 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you talked a little bit about this, but let's dig into your personal dance history a little bit. If you could tell us like when you started dancing and just
sure.
give us a brief overview.
So I first started like formal dance, like entering my first dance class, like that kind of training. I mean, I don't know if you can count the age of like 4.5 or 5, cause you're just kind of, you know,
wiggling and grooving.
Yeah, exactly. so it would be around that age is when I first started, but like, even before I got into my first class, I was inspired by my older sister. She's always been a dancer. And her and I would like make up dances or like perform things in the living room.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure my mom has clear memories of me putting on like a Michael Jackson cassette tape.
Oh yeah. Which
like,
one?
All of them. But
yeah.
always for some reason the Free Willy soundtrack, and then just like dancing around in the living room.
Yeah.
Not doing any moves, just kind of like wiggling around. So it's like dance has always been kind
of
in
yeah.
in my life in some form. but like formal training, I guess you could say, started at 5.
Okay.
And I kind of went, I started out as a, I guess what you would call a studio dancer or a competition mm-hmm. dancer. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into high school, I started dancing with the Jefferson Dancers, which is one of the
yep.
local treasures of dance companies in
absolutely.
Town.
Absolutely.
Under the direction of Steve Gonzalez,
yeah.
who to this day is still a huge
doing great work.
Inspiration and a huge mentor for me. And definitely had a hand in not just guiding me as a dancer, but as an individual and someone who wants to dive into this as a career and a life kind of
pursuit.
Lifestyle,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah.
So I had a mixture of like that competitive training, and then Jefferson Dancers is where it really opened me up to more, I guess what you would call like concert work,
right.
stage work.
Right.
I had known of like a few companies up until that time, but that was when I really started to realize like, oh gosh, like the dance spectrum is so vast.
Right.
There's so much in it. And so then from there, I did that thing that everyone kind of says not to do. So when I turned 18 and graduated, I moved to New York. No job,
no plan.
Place to live.
Yeah.
I had a friend I knew I could stay with her for like a week or two. And I had not even the promise of an audition, but just a, okay, so when you graduate and you come out here, let us know and we can bring you up for class.
Right.
One
right.
of those. So that's kind of what I had to go off of. And
yeah.
then from there, I just kind of had to wing it.
Yeah.
And do stuff. And I mean, essentially still a student per se, because you know I like to go take class,
right.
And I think as we get older in this, we realize that as much as we've learned and acquired, there's always going to be more and more.
That's the beauty of
that
it,
we
right?
don't know. Yeah, and that's I just think that's super cool. Like, but that's essentially the training. I mean, I've had intensives and things. Like I remember when Portland Ballet was Pacific Artist Dance Center.
Yep, yep.
I did their intensive ones. I would take drop-in classes. Nancy's great.
I'm interested because I also trained in a program where my dance training was integrated with my academics in a
mm-hmm.
in a high school, junior high and high school program. How do you feel like having that as a possibility for you? Affected your trajectory in the dance world? Like, if there weren't a Jefferson Dancers,
mm-hmm.
How would that have worked?
That's a really interesting question. Because I kind of attribute my jumping into, like, stage performance and concert dance to Jefferson Dancers. But even before that, even before, like, I would say even say back in, like, grade 4, I knew very clearly I wanted to go to New York and be a dancer.
Yeah.
At the time, I was more into like, and I still am, into like Broadway. Like I idolized Gene Kelly, and just like that whole like showy performance aspect of everything. Like I loved that. And then it was weird. Like I've never had any family in New York. We never visited, but for some reason, just like New York was always like the goal. And so even before being introduced to like company work, I knew that I wanted to go do that. So it's possible that I could have pursued the Broadway thing full throttle and then fallen into the wonderful crazy world of contemporary dance. I don't really know, but I'm glad that I have
had that as an option.
For sure.
Wonderful. So can you elaborate on what dance has meant to you in your life and what it means to you now in your life?
Oh boy.
Kind of a deep question.
Yeah, it's quite a question to unpack.
Yeah.
So dance, and I say this with no exaggeration, was absolutely something that saved my life and my sister's. Growing up, going to the dance studio was the safe place to be. To not have to be in the house or out and about, and just even if we didn't have class that day, because my mom, in order to afford all of it, having two kids in this dance program, she had to get a job there to essentially help. And then from there, she started working full time there, not as a teacher or anything. She was She does all the behind the scenes work in the office. But dance was really something that like we had to keep us sane,
yeah.
honestly.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't really know why it ended up being that way, because it could have been anything else, like sports or you know, doing plays or whatever, but we both kind of really fell into dancing.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely been a lifesaver. And then you know, like I said, from an early age I knew that was the thing.
Your
that
thing.
Was the thing I
yeah.
was gonna do. That's what I wanted to be.
It was your calling.
Very, very much so.
Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, with you talking about your living room concerts,
yeah,
that it was just like, just in you, in your DNA to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I think it's in everyone's.
Yeah.
Because for me, dance is like, it's really like the most primal form of being.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Like I have a friend, and she said, you know, before you're even born, you're moving in the womb. So it's
yeah.
like before you speak, before you know language, before you know shapes or colors, like you move, and like every animal has like body language. And I don't know, it's just, it's something that I think is within everybody, and it connects everybody. And you know, you don't need to speak the same language verbally to speak the same language metaphysically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I like it. So what challenges have you faced in your pursuit of dance?
You know, there's definitely been a lot of like external challenges, you know, from growing up during a time when being a dancer wasn't the coolest, let alone being a boy dancer.
Yeah.
But to be honest, like I didn't really, like I was bullied, but I never really let that affect me, just because I was so passionate about what I was doing. I kind of just ignored all of it.
Well, and it sounds like you had a nice community in the studio where you studied,
yeah.
and like you found your people there. And
yeah, and I've been very fortunate to have a mother that's like super crazy supportive, even if logic and what you think should be the right decision is not what I'm doing. She's like, you know, you do what you need to do.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, and so definitely external challenges, but also like more so recently, a lot of internal challenges that I bring on by myself.
Yeah.
You know, like I think every artist, no matter what profession or how seasoned you are, there's always that constant like, well, am I really doing the right thing?
Right.
Which kind of goes against what I just said about being so passionate about it. But then I think that just comes with the territory of it.
Yeah.
Like we're supposed to be constantly questioning, maybe not second guessing, but just
but
asking ourselves questions.
Yeah.
Analyzing. And also, you know, as I get older, you know, I think we grow up and we're conditioned to think that the lifespan of a dancer is X amount of time.
Yep.
And if you're not hitting these certain milestones or these markers along the way, then you're behind schedule. Or it's like, oh, if you're not, I don't know, like a principal by 23, 24, then you're out. Like, or whatever, I don't know. So just kind of dealing with all that, and
yeah.
then also, again, not that I'm super crazy old or anything, although I feel it half the time, seeing what I grew up with and what I was a part of, not being phased out, but definitely not being like the fresh thing on the block,
right.
if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does, absolutely.
So then it also becomes a question of like, okay, I'm doing the right thing, but am I still valid? Am I still current? How can I continue to refresh what I'm doing and stay relevant and stay part of what's going on in the scene without becoming a dinosaur in the dance world?
Yeah.
And just sticking to, you know, counts of eight.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Here's my
and this is what I know,
sadness.
And this
like,
is my shtick.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, I think I certainly experienced that in my career as well. Like.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like the more that I matured and the more that I learned, the more that I realized I didn't know, you know, and that continued right up until I retired.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally hear what you're saying
yeah.
with that. And I think it's also too like the dancer mentality of analysis, of self-analysis, and of like having that amount of like self-motivation and discipline to really drive yourself forward. Mm-hmm. It's part of the thing that makes you good at what you do, but it's also something that, at least in my experience, you have to kind of battle against.
Yeah.
Because there's like the negative side a little bit to it too, where you're maybe too hard on yourself sometimes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like I've always been super, super hard on myself. Mostly just because like I never want to let anyone down around me, which I know is a crazy thing. You can't please everybody, but I still try.
Yeah. Well, especially when you feel like people have really invested in you and your artistic journey.
Yeah. Or even the other way around, like just being really invested in all the people that you that you're with. And it's like, whether it's family or my fellow dancers or my choreographer, it's like, I don't want to let anyone down.
Right.
I don't want to be the reason that this goes south, so, you know.
So, connected to that, can you talk about the people or resources or opportunities that you feel have helped you the most in your journeys?
I mean, gosh, there's so many. I mean, I like to think that every person and every event, you know, shapes kind of who we become and where we go. Totally a fortune cookie kind of answer, but I mean, it's the truth. If I'm being specific, I mean, obviously this is my family.
Yeah. And your sister, you mentioned, was a big influence.
Yeah, my sister and I, like, we're definitely best friends for sure. Because we're only separated by a couple years, so there's enough of a difference to be, like, different people and do our own things, but then, you know, we're also very close. But yeah, family's been a big inspiration. All the teachers and choreographers I work with, even the crazy ones, because I feel like you can learn something from everything, even if it's, that's not what I want to do.
Right.
Or that's not my style, it's not what I want to be, that's not how I want to teach, that's not my thing. But definitely more of the positives in my life than the, oh, that's not what I want to do experiences. You know, like I said, Steve at Jefferson, huge impact. And then, let's see, I would say another huge influence actually is one of the choreographers I currently with still, or I'm currently working with still. His name is Doug Elkins. He's out in New York City. He started out as a break dancer back in the 90s,
very
80s,
cool.
90s.
Yeah.
And then transitioned into like stage dance and contemporary dance. And so instead of going the other way, like taking a formally technically trained dancer in throwing them onto the street, it's like, you know, this guy who's like, I just, you know, I'd like to move. And
do you still see that influence in his
style? Absolutely. Both in movement and choreographically. Because working with Doug, we have a lot of similar tastes and ways of thinking. Like it's like taking all these different random, maybe at first glance non-cohesive ideas and throwing them into a blender and then kind of uncovering how they actually are all related and part of the same vibe. And then always like a dash of humor and like
nice
kind of an up yours kind of thing too.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just I just really admire him as an individual and his style and what he's done in the dance scene. And also just the thing that he's influenced me with the most is remembering to always have like that sense of play.
Yeah.
'Cause that's what makes it meaningful and not just a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause I've definitely, as a freelancer, you definitely have to take jobs that maybe you're not super passionate about, but it's related to the field that you're in.
Right.
And so he's definitely reminded me to like always find that sense of play in everything that you do.
That's a great perspective. It can be so weighty if you feel like you're trying to say something really important all the time.
Yeah. Well, and you know, humor in dance is one of the hardest things to pull off, honestly. 'Cause I mean, comedy in general, like it's all about timing. It's you know, reading the room, it's, you don't want to overdo it,
right.
You don't necessarily want to understate some things. And then also just his process, like he's very, very collaborative, which I love being the same way. I'm not choreographing every single step or movement or count.
Right.
I very much rely on the people in the room with me when I get to work with other dancers and not just do another solo on myself. I very much rely on other people to kind of give their input, come up with movement, talk about ideas. And then, you know, also just his way of getting together these groups of people that are just, it's so special, like the chemistry and the magic that happens in the room. And that itself is like an art form.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you could take like fabulous dancers, but if they don't have that thing that they connect to each other,
yeah.
It just looks like a piece with a bunch of stunning, technically trained dancers.
Right.
But in order to transcend that and make it something more, you have to be able to find the right combination of personalities and energies. And that's something he does really well. And so that's inspired me as a choreographer to add that into what I kind of think about when I'm doing projects. And like, not just what is the project and what it's about, but who do I think would be right for it.
Right. Yeah, I think that's beautiful, and that makes me think about, as artists and creators, making sure that we're enjoying our process of creation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not just making it all about like the outcome and the performance, but making sure that we're creating situations
mm-hmm.
that, you know, feed us artistically and otherwise, like every step of the way.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be able to enjoy it, because if you're not enjoying what you're doing, then that's definitely a sign you have to step back. Yeah.
Right.
And be like, well, okay, what is it about this that I'm not enjoying? Is there something I can do actively to change that?
Yeah.
And then if not, then it's like, well, maybe I should consider
new direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm curious to hear how you would describe the current dance scene in Portland, and then maybe mm-hmm. since you have sort of a tri-city existence, you could talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, you know, I definitely think the dance scene in Portland is increasing a lot in a great way. I think there's more now than there has
ever been. Yep.
And that's all thanks to the do-it-yourself kind of mentality, and like this. Another reason I think that's the case too is we're seeing a generation of dancers that aren't waiting for permission
somebody
to
else.
Do something,
yeah,
or aren't
exactly.
waiting for someone else to say, oh, yeah, let's do this. It's all about, you know, if you have an idea and you want to pursue it and spearhead it, then you do it. And, you know, hopefully you find the people that are willing to jump in the wagon with you and take that ride. But I very much enjoy the dance scene here in Portland. I think it's very mixed. You have a little bit of everything, you know, from your classically trained ballet companies to your, you know, quirky modern companies to a mixture of both to like, you know, the whole performance art crawling out of a cardboard box
right.
with like foil and just clapping your hands and saying, what is all of this, like kind of dance. Which I love that too. Like there's so much here in Portland, and I think that there's a change kind of coming in where people are hopefully starting to be a little bit more receptive to open collaboration and sharing, not
right.
just of dancers but also of audiences.
Right.
I think because Portland traditionally has been a smaller market. And again, I'm no expert. This is just my
perception
of
yeah.
it. But I feel like because Portland is a smaller, or has been a smaller art market, specifically with dance, you know, in a way it's kind of been like, well, we don't want to lose our audience members because they're not necessarily going to go see 80 dance shows
right.
a year. They're going to see a couple. And so we want to make sure they come to ours.
Right.
But I feel that changing, and I think too it goes back to like a new generation is kind of not, I don't want to say moving up, because I'm not implying anyone's being replaced, but it's just, I think it's a mentality thing.
Well, we also have
you
this
know.
this population increase that's happening. Yeah. You know, there's, I don't know the exact statistic, but it's somewhere between like 110 and 140 mm-hmm. people moving to the city each day.
Yeah.
So we do have the benefit of being in an environment where more people are coming. Mm-hmm. So the audience,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. And Portland has definitely become a bigger place on the map.
Yeah.
Not just with dance. It's always been like a culinary destination and a music destination, you know, with the show like Portland
and Pia,
it definitely opened up everyone's eyes to like the city,
right?
Yeah, and literary arts too. Just like, so I think all of that is finally coming together and really making Portland like a cool place to be that isn't super overloaded just yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and then. Just quickly tell us a little bit about your experience in Detroit and New York and maybe a little compare and contrast.
Sure. So, I was in New York before I went to Detroit. It's definitely an experience that I think everyone who wants to do this should have at least once. Go to New York and see what's happening. See if you fall into anything. It's such a huge city, and at the same time, it can feel very, very small when you're fully engrossed into what you're doing and the circle of people that you're working with or hanging out with. There's still numerous pockets of Manhattan that I have not even set foot in because, you know, just it's so big.
Right.
And in Detroit, it's definitely still a city, but it's a lot smaller as far as people. Detroit isn't traditionally known to be, it's known more for music, for sure, like the whole Motown scene,
right.
And definitely for sports and visual art. Dance has never, I shouldn't say never. Dance isn't necessarily one of the first things you think of when you think of Detroit. That said, there's tons of dance out there. And when I was living out there a couple of years ago, it was really cool because they were starting to connect and create an actual network, similar to kind of DanceWire.
DanceWire,
yeah. Absolutely, and very similar to DanceWire, where it's like, you know, it's like flipping that zero-sum game theory around
right.
and into a positive-sum game,
right.
where it's like, if we ensure that we help each other, we all win.
Right.
And I think that's the mentality that, you know, whether it's Detroit or Portland or whatever, I think that's becoming more and more acknowledged, which is cool. So, but definitely differences too between Detroit and New York as far as just like the vibe of the city. I mean, New York is New York. You can say those words and like 1,000 ideas and feelings come out.
Right, right.
Whereas like with Detroit, I think at least recently, it's mostly associated with, you know, financial trouble, you know, people fleeing the city,
right.
abandoning it. And so when I was there, it was this weird, beautifully haunting, crazy kind of mixture of seeing like gorgeous architecture and infrastructure next to something that's burnt down
Decay.
And shattered
yeah.
next to a brand new art gallery. So it's like, it's really kind of a bizarre scene. But not in a bad sense at all.
Yeah.
Just very, very, very mixed. Very much it's becoming its own thing, which I think is super cool.
Well, that must be really satisfying and interesting for you to sort of participate in all three of these communities and experience the riches that each has to offer you in your career.
It definitely is. I'm very fortunate that I'm able to wander around and travel and go to these different places and have these people, to support me and to have me be part of these things. And,
yeah.
and I'm very thankful that when I go to these different places, I get to contribute and give back and help out with whatever I can, you know.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, it has been a great pleasure to talk with you today and to get to know more about you and your journeys in dance.
Yeah.
And I'm excited that you're a 2018 ambassador, and I hope that the rest of your ambassador year brings you great things.
Yeah, thank you.
So.
I've been sitting here, and it's funny, I'm like kind of fanboying. I'm like, oh my God, I'm sitting with Anne, and I should be asking you all the questions because you're just like an icon in Portland.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, I'm like super like clammy hands and nervous.
That's,
like, oh my
that's
God.
Really sweet. You made my week. Thank you. All right. And on that awesome note, let's say goodbye. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, thanks, y'all. Check out DanceWire. It's definitely the place to be for connecting to dance. Check it out.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Yes. Yes, we are.